When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum Internet has enough speed to handle all your needs, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus, Spectrum's advanced Wi-Fi provides enhanced security for all your connected devices. Get Spectrum Internet with fast and reliable speeds, starting at just $29.99 a month with a 2-year price guarantee. Visit spectrum.com/internet for you for full details. Offer subject to change, valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Here at the Black Information Network, we know how important it is for you to start your week off energized, engaged, and enlightened. There are always major stories that break over the weekend, and we feel you should know about the ones we are talking about today. So stay tuned for our weekend recap, featuring the author of the book, Trap History, and the executive editor of Atlanta Daily World, Mr. A.R. Shaw. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. All right, Mr. A.R. Shaw, welcome back to the show, man. How are you doing this late morning for you? Same time for me because daylight savings has kicked in. What's the latest out there?
Yeah, so daylight savings, it always it kicks your butt the first 24 hours. You realize that you don't realize that that hour of sleep that you miss and now it just throws your entire day off.
Yeah.
So it actually threw me off this morning with us.
Yeah, well.
Earlier than expected. It takes about a day or two to adjust to the time change.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, we're here now and the time is right. So let's get to these stories. Thank God I live in a place where we don't, such a weird thing to switch your clocks at, but we've never switched our clocks in Arizona. And I think Arizona and Hawaii are the only two places where they look at the rest of the country like, what are you guys doing? It's only in your brain. But yeah. I digress. All right. First up. This comes from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you want to check out the full story at WPR.org. On September 12th, 2022, Malcolm X became the first Black man or woman voted into the Nebraska Hall of Fame. But by May, a bust of Malcolm X will be inside the Nebraska State Capitol, along with 26 other Nebraskans. In 2004 and 2007, the Nebraska Hall of Fame Commission proposed his induction, but chose someone else. The state will celebrate Malcolm X Day on May 22nd. The Malcolm X Memorial Foundation will soon be unveiling a new cultural education center and outdoor event space as a result of the $20 million state grant. So, this is pretty big news. What's your thoughts?
No, it's big news, and someone like Malcolm X is always deserving of an honor.
Yeah,
the impact that he had, just not in from a community, Black community standpoint, but from America, mm-hmm. an American standpoint. Like, he's an American legend. Where you can go overseas and you see murals of Malcolm X, and there's classes international where they study some of his teachings, and so. It's great that he was honored, but it's interesting that Nebraska, that he's the first Black person to be inducted into the Hall of Fame of the state, considering that you've had so many notable Black figures from Nebraska. You have Kathy Hughes, Radio One. You have a woman, Black woman named Brenda Council, who was the first Black woman to be the president of the Omaha School Board. Mm-hmm. And so you have several leaders who actually made an impact. And it's, considering that he's the first Black person to enter the Hall of Fame for the state, shows you that there is an issue with who's ever choosing individuals who should be given this honor.
Yeah, absolutely. First thing, let me make sure that I make this point. So this news broke on March 9th. And so that's why we're getting to it today. But, you know, yes, the dates are accurate. This happened on September 12, 2022, when he was voted in finally after two failed attempts earlier in the 2000s. But, you know, to your point, I think that there's been a lot of intentional demonization of Malcolm X, of the Panthers, of Stokely, and on and on. Because they were a little bit more fiery speakers and organizations, right? Whereas Dr. King, being a minister and, of course, you know, having a nonviolent approach to creating social change, was a little bit more palatable and a little less threatening to white sensibilities. And as you know, whoever is chronicling the story is able to give it the spin that, you know, reflects, I suppose, their sensibilities and their the lens through which they view society. So if this, if, you know, going back to the 60s, you know, if the media is controlled by, you know, mostly white individuals, then I would imagine that a person like Malcolm X might offend and upset and scare a lot of those people based on their sensibilities, right? And so, again, unfairly villainized and demonized over the years. And it's not until you have the hindsight of, you know, living through the ripple effect of, you know, the change that he was making, that you can look back and see, okay, that was necessary, even if it was just necessary to serve as a contrast between him and Dr. King. Right. You know, they both kind of wanted more or less the same thing. They just had different paths to get there. And so you're absolutely right. It's fantastic to know that Malcolm X is finally being celebrated. He, of course, was born in Nebraska. So this is why the Nebraska Hall of Fame is, you know, called to honor his legacy. And I think that this kind of opens the door for other organizations to really step into honoring him and researching, because as you mentioned, Black people, we've always looked at Malcolm X like, okay, he's one of our great heroes. Absolutely. You know, Spike Lee, of course, made the film of him starring Denzel. And, you know, just in our close circles, you know, in private conversations, we've always kind of known that Malcolm X was a good man. He was a strong man. And that's kind of what we needed when we were getting our heads busted open in the streets with, you know, police batons and just kind of being treated unfairly. And, you know, we're still kind of going through that, but he's one of the folks that certainly showed us the way. And, you know, and lately, not to dwell on it, but lately I've heard, you know, he's one of the heroes that a lot of the Palestinian folks look up to. They espouse his methods, along with, you know, Nelson Mandela and, you know, a few other famous Black actors that were pushing for social reform in their various countries. And so you're absolutely right that he's a celebrated individual around the world. And now he's celebrated in his home state of Nebraska by being voted finally into the Nebraska Hall of Fame. So shout out to Malcolm X one time, if you don't mind. Moving on. Our next story, this comes from Hip Hop DX. Chuck D has told his followers to manage their expectations about their elected leaders, cautioning against expecting politicians to be saviors in the wake of the recent State of the Union address. The Public Enemy MC made clear on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Thursday, March 7th, that it was more important to know about the issues brought up in the annual presidential speech than about any similar entertainment event. He says, pay attention. Understanding the State of the Union right now is more crucial than any sporting event going on, especially with elections looming in November. The divided country looks on these faces on this screen is sad, expletive, deleted comedy of a haunting terrain ahead either way. Making sports appear as important as someone else's. I'm going to skip some of this stuff just because it's not entirely appropriate for our audience, but the long and the short of it, pay attention. It's going to be a lot of civil casualties no matter who you vote for. And that's the end of his, the first part of his statement. I'll get the second part right now. We'll get your thoughts later. So he says, when I say pay attention, it doesn't mean I'm making assumptions of who to vote on. I'm just telling folks to stop voting for candidates and expecting them to be Jesus. They ain't, and you best make them accountable and stop waiting for the news. So, your thoughts on Chuck D's take of the State of the Union address?
No, I mean, Chuck D is 100% right. I think, of course, Chuck D, years ago, decades ago, he said that hip hop served as almost like the CNN of urban America.
Yeah.
He's been one of the most vocal leaders that from the hip hop community that we've had. And so he's right. And I think he's and it works on both sides, because, you know, we see someone like Donald Trump and all the things that he's going through and all the things from a criminal aspect. Mm-hmm. And you still have people who will follow him. Oh, just based on who he is, not anything that he would do for the country, but just based on him as a person. And so everything Chuck D said was correct in that sense, where you have people who are following these individuals just based on their name, not their actual policies. And so it's interesting that he brought it up, and it's perfect timing that you know, potential voters should think about that. What are these candidates doing in terms of policy? What laws are they actually going to implement to help you to serve your communities? And so it's just, you know, unfortunately, he's right. We live in this time where there's an idolization of these political figures that's almost sickening. To the point where it's like you're letting these people get away with things that they shouldn't get away with if they were an average person. So hopefully moving forward, that resonates to some of the potential voters coming up, because we have two candidates that we should both look at and say, OK, what are they actually doing for the people?
Sure. You know, there's something interesting that I heard another political pundit say. I couldn't tell you which one, but I believe it to be true, having traveled around the world a good bit. And that's that in other countries, people are almost inherently critical of their elected officials, right? They don't elect their representatives nearly as enthusiastically as some of us do. You know, I know that there's not a lot of people as enthusiastic about this particular election, but the fact is that in other countries, for the most part, people aren't as enthusiastic about their guy or their woman that they're electing. And they're all very critical of the job that they do. Now, if you did a job at any other workplace and you did 95% of the job excellent, you know, you'd be a good person, you know, obviously you'd be okay. You know, there's no reason to fire you, but they would constantly work with you on getting that last 5%. Right. And so what happens with our elected officials is that if they do the job 60% right, or less even, people will just ignore the other 40%. Right. And so I think that in other countries, how they scrutinize their elected officials is like, no, this is everything that you said, and we expect you to do everything that you said. And that approach makes the elected officials certainly more accountable to their electorate. Whereas with here, again, what we're seeing lately is there's this almost like cult-like mentality that goes into politics. And I'm not just talking about Donald Trump, because he's one example of it, and perhaps obviously the most pronounced example, but there's a lot of people, certainly on the like the state level, and then of course there's, you know, congressional representatives and, you know, Senate candidates and so forth around the country, that and then gubernatorial candidates as well, but these folks that get the same sort of like fiery, passionate supporters, and you know, whenever they fall short of their job description, or they fall short of their promises, you know, their base will continue to support them blindly. And so I think Chuck D's position is absolutely right. No matter who gets in there, we need to not expect them to be Jesus. They are human beings. They are not nearly as smart as people think. They are not as qualified as people assume. They are just doing their best with the information that they're being fed. And so voting for people with the right temperament, knowing that, you know, they might hope to do a lot of things, can't quite do all of them, but your position should be to compel them constantly to not forget about you, not forget about the little guy, to do the job that they've been elected to do. I think that that is part and parcel to any job that anyone's been elected to. However, in this kind of celebrity obsessed culture, we've kind of blurred the lines between politics and celebrity and sports, you know, because we root for our guy, or again, our woman. I live in a place where Carrie Lake ran, and she was not beaten by a lot like she should have been, you know, and she's running again. So, you know, this, it's just an interesting thing to see. So shout out to Chuck D for telling it like it is.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Today's guest is the author of the book Trapped History and the executive editor of Atlanta Daily World, Mr. A.R. Shaw. All right, this from News One. A black woman was intentionally struck by a white driver in Alabama who fled a hit-and-run scene before returning later, only for the police to delay his arrest on Thursday, according to the victim's sister, who documented the scene in graphic video footage posted to social media. The video, recorded in the small city of Jemison, showed a small pool of blood on the ground of an apparent church parking lot that the woman recording said was from her sister after the driver, identified as Stephen Fuller, decided to run her over. The woman's recording said that she had been on the scene for more than an hour demanding Fuller's arrest to no immediate avail. Quote, "I want to know why no one is in handcuffs," unquote, the woman recording asked an officer as the suspect is shown in the background calmly smoking a cigarette. The officer responded that he was waiting on a state trooper, prompting the woman recording to ask incredulously, quote, "You guys can't arrest him," she said. Fuller, 25, should be arrested for, quote, "attempted murder." She explained that her sister was airlifted to UAB Hospital in Birmingham after Fuller's pickup truck collided with her sister's car. The woman recording said her sister got out and told Fuller he hit her. "Then he proceeded to hit my sister with his pickup truck," the woman recording says. She credited angels on the scene who were able to track him down after he ran over my sister. She added, quote, "He fled the scene. Then they went and got him and brought him back to the scene. He has yet to be arrested," unquote. In the video, an unidentified officer with the Jemison Police Department refused to arrest Fuller, let alone even handcuff and detain a suspect accused of fleeing a hit and run that caused personal injury, which is a felony in the state of Alabama. Quote, "I want to know why this man has not been arrested," unquote, the woman recorded repeated before the officer told her to stop hollering. According to the Chittenden County Sheriff's Office, Fuller was charged with aggravated assault and granted a bond of $5,000, not attempted murder, as the victim's sister was demanding. So a lot here, but I wanted to make sure that we were able to paint this picture fully. I know you know a little bit more about this, but, you know, initially, just kind of what was your reaction hearing about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's just another case of, police not doing their jobs in these what we call sundown towns that still exist across the country. The fact that he wasn't charged with attempted murder after this just shows you that there's something that's an issue with the Jameson Police Department, and the Department of Justice should open up an investigation into this matter. Not just for Jameson Police Department, but there are other police departments in Alabama that's done a lot of foul things to individuals. In December 2023, there was a black man who was tased to death by police officers near Mobile. And last May, there was a police dog that attacked a black man at his home. And so it just shows you that there is some issues that's happening in the state of Alabama, but it happens across the country. But I think the Department of Justice should do a better job of making sure that these police departments are held accountable for their actions.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that's really interesting, because we talk a lot about Alabama. We talk a lot about Mississippi and rural Georgia on the Black Information Network, not just this show, but all of us here, because there's a lot of stories that come from places like that. And you would think, after being known for being these like almost racist, backwards, backwater states. I'm not talking about Atlanta. Atlanta is where it's at. I'm talking about rural Georgia, though, right?
Sure.
You would think that, you know, after all this time, these people would say, you know what, let me take a look around here. We're one of the poorest states. We have the lowest everything bad, the highest of everything bad and the lowest of everything good. That's what I mean to say. Every metric that we value in society, we're performing poorly. We should probably do something about this. Racism has not worked for us. You would think they would have kind of adopted this posture 50 years ago. You would think that behavior like this, like you mentioned sundown towns, you would think that these people would recognize, hey, you know, this might not be working for us. There's other places where the money's moving. They have industry, they have options. They live nicer lives, whatever it is that they might value. And it just seems like, based on the amount of stories that we get that come from these places, it just seems, and Florida too, like in backwater Florida places, and Texas too. I don't want to be unfair. Arkansas as well. But, you know, these places where it's like, come on, y'all get it together. And, you know, for this story in particular, I think that it shows that at least in Alabama, there is, and I would argue that around the country, but we certainly have an example of Alabama here, that there is two criminal justice systems. One where you're innocent until proven guilty, and another one where you're guilty until proven innocent. And the innocent until proven guilty, I think that kicks in if you're white and the person who caused harm to you, let me say this right. If you're white, okay, if you're the person accused of the crime and the person that you've caused harm to is also white, okay, then you're innocent until proven guilty, okay? If you're black, if the person that you've caused harm to is white, you're guilty until proven innocent, right? If you are white and the person that you've caused harm to is black, you are innocent until proven guilty. And you're starting to understand how there's two different criminal justice systems. And in this case, you know, he's a white man who's caused harm to a black woman, innocent until proven guilty. You can have your cigarette stand around in the parking lot. But had the tables been turned, it's very easy to assume that if a black man had run over a white woman in a parking lot, it probably would have gotten killed in that parking lot, right? And so just interesting to see the state of things in Alabama and how these things continue to shape the national narrative around these like backwater states. What company would want to establish any industry in the state of Alabama? What, you know, like, and I think that their economic infrastructure there shows that. It's just nobody would touch that place with a 10-foot pole. And the sad thing is that there are people on the ground there who live there. Brilliant, beautiful people who are kind of all races, and they're unfortunately represented by a group of people that see nothing wrong with this behavior, as illustrated by the fact that it has not changed. So what are we going to do, right? But hopefully we'll keep following this story and justice will be served. And, you know, obviously with the national exposure, there's a lot of people on it. So we'll stay on top of it. And if there's more to report, we'll do just that. Finally, our last story today comes from hiphopwired.com. For the past few years, Jake Paul has been making quite a name for himself in the boxing arena by putting together a rather impressive record at 9 wins, 1 loss. And now the internet celebrity turned professional fighter will be taking on one of the greatest boxers of all time, Iron Mike Tyson. This fight will be available to everyone who has a subscription to Netflix. And the fight will be taking place on July 20th. So a lot of people excited about this. What's your thoughts, Amir?
Well, you know, so it's, you know, I'm kind of torn because it's like, I look at Mike Tyson as a legend. And yeah, I think, you know, the things that he did in the 80s, early 90s, in terms of how he, you know, being the youngest heavyweight boxing champ in history, he's a legend. And you know, for me, it's like, why would you align with someone like Jake Paul when you have a legendary status like this? So from that standpoint, I'm just like, I don't really agree with it in that sense where Tyson would use his cachet to align with someone like Jake Paul. But I'm guessing I'm sure that Netflix wrote a massive check.
Yeah.
A massive check. And so that's where I guess the, you know, we talk about the entertainment business. That's the business part of entertainment.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure he's going to get a payday that's going to set him for life where he doesn't, you know, his kids probably won't have to work again.
Yeah.
And I don't think they had any, I don't think, you know, I don't think he was missing any money, but he's 57. Mike Tyson is 57.
Yeah.
Jake Paul is 27. And so regardless of, like, you can't defeat Father Time, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's no way, like, it's just, it's impossible, right? Like, you just can't defeat Father Time. I think last year, Mike Tyson was walking around with a cane. And so, so it's, I don't know what his health status is. I know that he, you know, indulges in, I know he likes to smoke a lot of weed and, you know, and he's living a retired life. And so, which he could do. And so, but my thing is he in boxing shape? And can he get in boxing shape in 90 days to face someone who's 30 years younger than him?
Sure.
And who's an athlete. I think with muscle memories, I think boxers will always have the muscle memory to they can fight in the street. Like anybody, Tyson can fight anybody within a 1 to 2 minute span, right?
Yeah.
He can go toe to toe with anybody. But when you're talking about a boxing match where it's 5 to 6 rounds, I don't know.
It's a different story. Yeah.
Different story. So I think if Mike Tyson could get him early, maybe the first 2 rounds is good. But the longer it goes, Jake Paul has the advantage.
Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate that insight. You know, I've seen some Mike Tyson boxing like highlights over the years. I'm not a big boxing person, you know, like that. I don't really, just doesn't really move me in the same way. But I've seen a few boxing matches over the years, of course, like everyone. So I appreciate the like technical analysis of and the strategy that you're suggesting these people adopt, because when you say it out loud, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. But one thing I do remember is when it was a couple years ago, Mike Tyson had a similar fight. It was like an exhibition fight, and he fought Roy Jones Jr. That's right. Okay. So I saw the training videos of Mike Tyson leading up to that, and he looked ferocious. And then Roy Jones Jr. came back with his own kind of training videos too. And he looked fantastic, but he did not look like Mike Tyson. I would never, ever, ever want to get punched by Mike Tyson. Just seeing that video and he was moving and shifting his stance and then punching, and the punch was coming back before I knew it had left in the first place. It was already headed backwards. I was like, what? What? Okay, so I know he's got a couple more years on that, but if that video is any indication of kind of the skill that he still has, I don't know, man. There's something to be said about still getting in the ring with Mike Tyson at 57. Now, with that said, I think you're absolutely right. This is a big payday for Mike Tyson, and you know why not? And I don't know that. If Mike loses, everyone will have their reasons, you know, like, okay, well, Mike Tyson is 57 years old and he's boxing a person 30 years younger than him. And if Mike Tyson wins, then he's, you know, still Mike Tyson. So I don't know that there's really much in the way of a downside for him. And Jake Paul, of course, getting in the ring with Mike Tyson, he's more of an internet guy. So for him, just the fact that he gets to fight Mike Tyson, he's that quote unquote caliber of fighter. I think that kind of further cements his name as more of an athlete, less of an internet personality. And I think that maybe he's trying to move more into that arena. You know, he's done the YouTube stuff already. If that's kind of behind him, I think he still does it, but I don't really pay too much attention to Jake Paul. Why would I? But anyway, I know that he's moving in this direction. And so, you know, I guess good for everybody. I know there's a lot of people that are watching this fight. And if I'm not at home, there's a good chance I'll be watching it too. If I'm at home, I got no reason to watch a fight between anybody. I'm not into fights like that. So anyway, hope everybody has a good time and you know, the checks cash where they're supposed to cash. So we'll keep you posted. I'm sure we'll have some commentary after the fight too. So with that in mind, I'd like to thank you as always for taking the time to review the stories over the weekend with me, your brilliant insight. And of course, your presence on this show is always well received. Once again, today's guest is the author of the book, Trap History, and the executive editor of Atlanta Daily World, Mr. A.R. Shaw. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.